Hello, Clippers.
What are you doing? You gotta get psyched.
I'm very psyched. I don't know. There's just so much free agency stuff going on right now. How are we even supposed to remember that basketball is happening?
Yeah, my brain is exploded from everything that just happened.
I've been staring at contracts. I've been just rifling through basketball reference. But anyways, there's a heck of a game lined up for tonight.
Oh, yeah, there is.
We got Lakers versus Clippers. Really important to determine, the bottom of the playoffs.
It's huge.
So really important one there. In case you guys didn't know, I'm William the Opinion Updike.
I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, coming at you 5 days a week. We're pumped. You're pumped. Let's do this.
Let's get psyched.
We're going to kick things off with a preview of the Lakers-Clippers matchup tonight that I just referenced. And then today is Thursday, so we got our regular segment, which is Thirsty Thursdays, where we talk about who and what we're thirsty for. And then we got to talk about all this Mavs, Knicks stuff. There's too much going on.
There's some Clippers implications with it further down the road, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
and that former Clippers player most likely involved in the trade. So
yeah,
we got to unpack all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Hell yeah. So tonight, the Lakers and Clippers play. For just setting the stage for our listeners, Will briefly mentioned it. This is a giant game for the Clippers.
I agree.
I would say... I was talking with ClipsCast, another Clippers podcast on Twitter. They asked me if this was a must-win. I think this might be a must-win game.
I think it's a must-win game, especially a LeBron-less Lakers.
There's a wrinkle in that, though.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. LeBron was upgraded from out to doubtful, and there's been all this dumb rhetoric of like, if he feels good, we got a plan B. Plan B is just that he plays.
It's a little absurd.
It's just kind of annoying. So the Clippers stand in eighth place. Two games up on the ninth place Lakers and the 10th place Kings. It's a regular Pacific Division party down there.
Oh, yeah.
If we beat the Lakers, we're three games up on them after tonight and 2.5 up on the Kings. The Lakers play the Warriors on Saturday, and the Kings play the 76ers.
Both hard games.
Both hard games. This is a great opportunity to give us a pretty good cushion before what seems two, losses for those two teams. We play the Pistons on Saturday, then meet the Raptors for the second night of a back-to-back on Sunday. We need this win.
Yeah. This is going to be a huge one.
Injuries, Gallo and Luke are both out.
Mm-hmm.
Avery Bradley is questionable with knee soreness.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that one's going to play out.
Yeah, but if he doesn't play, we might see a starting backcourt of Shea and Jerome.
Hello.
Yes, please.
As
we said, LeBron is weirdly doubtful, but they have a plan B.
Yeah.
Kuzma looked healthy in practice, and he might play today.
He's questionable. Yeah,
Hart's probably out. Like,
it's very unclear what's happening with this Lakers team.
It has me a little shook.
So I think it's so bizarre, because right now, aren't the Clippers favored in the odds betting-wise?
Five games. It's 5.5. 5.5 for our listeners who don't have bookies. 5.5.
So I actually think that this is, if we see these players tonight, this has been a huge manipulation for betting.
Absolutely.
For betting purposes.
100%.
And I don't know who's controlling that, but it's corrupt, and I want to get to the bottom of it.
We're not going
to
talk about the game. We're talking about the betting corruption in the NBA. No, let's get into what we need to win. Will, what do we need to do to win tonight?
So last time we successfully scored more in the paint than them. I think that we need to continue that trend. We got to play downhill. We got to get to the paint and be scoring.
Banging around down there.
Yeah, I'm going to be looking to Lou Will for that. I'm going to be looking to Trez, obviously. Oh, has to have a huge game.
100%.
Going to be looking at Tobias. He's got to be aggressive. He's got to come out aggressive from the top, or we could get stomped on.
We could get stomped on. I also agree on the Tobias thing. He's been playing so well lately. There's nothing in my mind to lead me to believe that he will not have a great game.
Yeah.
Smash cut to him only putting up 8 points and 3 rebounds.
Don't say that. You're supposed to be positive.
No, I think we need Tobias to have a huge game. He's, other than Lou, I think he's the biggest guy we need to break out for this game. Lou had 36 last time we played.
Yeah.
Our second leading.
He shows out against the Lakers.
He does, which is fantastic. I think we need to prepare as if LeBron is playing at this point.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We missed him last time.
Mm-hmm.
We won 118 to 107. But the only reason we won is because there was a fourth quarter collapse from the Lakers that in the first 4 minutes of the fourth quarter, the game went from 84 to 80 to 97 to 81 in favor of the Clippers. So that was great. But with no Gallo, we can't pretend, we can't act like LeBron's not playing.
Yeah, like, agreed. Yeah.
We got to come in so
Who guards hard. LeBron if he does end up playing tonight? We can dig into this a little bit more in matchups, but just off the top, what do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I genuinely do not have an answer for that.
I really don't know. No one, I think, is the answer.
I think no one. I like your note in here about Ingram.
Oh, yeah. So Ingram has a great game, had a great game last night, career high in points. I think we got to force him to take those low percentage long twos.
Yep.
He's not as much of a threat from three. He does take them occasionally, but he's not going to really be stretching our defense. Mm-mm. So it's going to be key to keep him out of the restricted area.
Yeah, and I want to see some bodies on him.
Yeah.
Put your body into him.
Yeah.
He's a skinny man.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, especially if he's getting into the post, you got to body him up.
Yeah. I'd love to see a good old fashioned just hard a professional foul maybe.
Yeah.
Also, I'm a little worried maybe about the defense depending on how we want to play. I hope we don't stick to him on the perimeter when he doesn't have the ball. I hope we kind of let him just let him shoot those threes.
I would guess that would be the strategy.
Yeah.
But
given how this defense plays sometimes.
I'm not in Rex's head.
I don't think anyone is.
What else you got for what we need to do to win?
We got to win the dang boards.
Oh, absolutely.
Tyson Chandler ate him up last time. He played off the bench. He had 6-15.
Yeah, that's going to be that's going to be a hard matchup for our centers.
We managed to win boards by three in the last meeting,
yeah.
But with no Gallo, what I'm assuming three-guard lineup is going to need another dose of this whatever rebounding serum that Patrick Beverley has injected into his veins.
Agreed. Well, and I think on the offensive boards, it's going to be really important. Last time, they got double the amount of second-chance points that we did.
Damn.
So, you know, if shots aren't falling, like those that on the offensive glass, it's going to be so important. It's going to be so crucial.
Do you want to see, because usually we don't see someone down there boxing out where all our guys are running back. Do you want to see maybe Trez assigned to just at least box out a little longer down there before getting back on defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be huge. Speaking of Trez, bench needs to come up big. We just mentioned it. Lou was our highest score last time we played. Our second highest score was Gallo with 19.
Yeah. Tobias did have an off night.
Yeah, he had 9-10, or 10-9. I think I got those two flipped. I'm hoping Trez puts up a meaty double-double.
Ooh,
like
okay.
Like a 24-12.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
If they kind of combine for that, and if he combines with Lou and Swell, and I really think Lou needs to keep up his distribution.
Yeah.
Because that's like a low-key thing that I don't think people know how to prepare for.
Definitely.
Because he's such a scorer.
Got it. I mean, yeah, always the more playmakers you can put on the ground is going to be advantageous.
And if Beverly's passing well too, that goes so long to help our three-guard lineup. What do you think could go wrong?
All right. Well, just piggybacking off, because we just talked about Ingram, you know, he's coming off of a 36-point performance last night.
Yeah.
Albeit in a loss, he's the exact type of player that can cause this team trouble inside.
Yeah, 100%.
If we can't keep him out of the restricted area, look for him to have a 20-plus point performance.
He dunked on someone, I think it was last night or a couple games ago, and I'm like, dude, you can't get dunked on by Brandon Ingram.
Oh, yeah.
And if you do, he should be getting up off of the floor after dunking on you. You shouldn't just be like, ooh,
yeah,
he got me. So they got us on fast break points last time, too.
Yeah.
17-9, and turned our 17 turnovers into 25 points.
Wow.
Taking care of the ball and limiting their run and gun opportunities with Rondo at the point is going to be big for us.
Definitely.
If we can't, because, you know, they're kind of a vibe-fueled team.
Yeah.
They have a lot of guys.
A lot of young guys, so.
And Lance, like, if things are going well, they're all going to come together and ride that wave. So if Rondo starts to kind of carve us up, like if we're seeing, like, three-quarter court passes and stuff from him,
yeah,
or like that crazy, like, super long bounce pass he can do.
I see this as, like, a huge what could go wrong. And this is actually the aspect that I'm maybe the most worried about, especially if the injuries do play out as we think they might.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his playmaking exploits our weak defense.
Yep.
He's averaging 11.7 assists per game since his return from injury.
I love Rondo. I wish so bad he didn't play for the Lakers.
And, like, you know, with his passing, KCP is scoring better. He's averaging nearly 17 a game since Rondo's been back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could get the ball to Ingram, obviously, Chandler. He sees the game too well.
Yeah, he sees everything. He sees the game almost like you're playing a video game. Like, he's watching himself.
Yeah.
Like, and he's just controlling it.
Yeah, so I think he's so solid. You know, obviously he can do, like, the fast break stuff, but, like, he's one of the best half-court point guards in the league. Still.
Is he a top three passing point guard in your lifetime that you've seen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I think so, too. Another thing could go wrong. LeBron decides to play. Kuzma decides to play. And they just beat us.
Oh, yeah.
So the weird thing last time, Kuzma had 24-9 last time we played. 0-7 from 3.
Wow.
Which kind of shocked me when I looked back at it. I can't imagine he's going to have that bad of a performance from beyond the arc again.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's feeling it, and like you just said, with Rondo in the half court, and we don't come locked in on defense, we could maybe be in some trouble early.
Yeah.
Just falling behind.
And despite missing those, he still finished with like a 43% field goal percentage. Yeah. So like, it's nothing to shake your nose at.
Yeah. Shake your nose?
I don't know if that's a saying.
It is now, baby. So this is maybe the most daunting key matchup segment I think we've done.
Yeah.
My biggest one for me is who guards Kuzma and Ingram with Gallo out.
Yeah.
Gallo was on Kuz for 44 possessions last time. Avery Bradley, who might be out, was on Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
So if we run this three-guard lineup, like we assume that...
Tobias?
Yeah, so Tobias is on Kuz.
Yeah. Or Ingram? I don't really know.
That's the thing, because Kuz is bigger than any of our three guards.
Yeah.
Ingram's longer than any of our three guards.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope we kind of do Beverly on Rondo. I think that makes a lot of sense. And then it's like, I guess Shea on KCP.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jerome on...
I don't know if it'll work, but what I want to see is, Jerome or Ty on one of their forwards.
Okay.
And then Tobias covering whichever other one.
Mm-hmm. The length is what just like, you know, Shea's long.
Yeah.
But he's smaller than Ingram.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about who, like, it's if they go big, which, I mean, if I was Luke Walton, I would be like, we're putting the biggest guys possible out there against this team.
Definitely.
This is going to be a really interesting game to watch from the Doc perspective.
Yeah.
His tinkering is going to have to be like at a flubber level.
Yeah.
Tinkering.
I think it'll be really interesting because both teams are missing such key players.
Yeah.
And
we might be missing Bradley. Like,
yeah,
it's just a lot. What do you got in here?
So other key matchups I got, I guess we touched on it a little bit, but just Patrick Beverley probably on Rondo.
Yeah.
He's got to be locked in. He's been playing phenomenally recently. Unstatable, some would say.
I mean, how can you stat the guy?
Hopefully he can force Rondo to shoot. I actually don't really see that happening.
No.
But I do see him irritating Rondo. I do see him helping to chip away time on the shot clock.
Oh, I like that. Make them rush. Especially if they're getting the offensive boards. Patrick Beverley is going to be right in Rondo's grill as soon as they get that board.
Definitely.
Hopefully.
I don't know that he can force him to shoot, but if he can, that'd be great.
Yeah. The Clippers recalled Jonathan Motley from the Agua Caliente Clippers to the LA Clippers. Could we see Motley on Ingram? I'm not mad at that matchup.
I'm not mad at that. I think I like it a little bit more on Kuz, just because Ingram has a little bit craftier tools at his disposal for scoring.
Great dribbler, great footwork.
Yeah, which I think that exploits a defensive matchup with Motley, just because he's so twitchy still. You know, he's a young guy, and he's energetic.
He's a fast twitch guy.
Yeah, he's energetic, which is great, but he's still like a little green. So I think that he could kind of get eaten up.
That's true. Ah, man. Next one here, we got Clippers versus themselves.
Oh, yeah.
We almost blew it last time against these guys.
Oh, yeah.
They were up by like 10 at one point. Took an insane collapse for us to win and a huge game from Lou Will. We've been to that movie before.
Oh, yeah.
A huge Tobias game will probably be needed. He did have 9 and 10 last time. I'm hoping he's hungry for like a revenge game.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the Lakers did him dirty or anything. He just played poorly against them.
Mm-hmm.
So like a 30-point game from Tobias would be just amazing.
Oh yeah, it'd be incredible. He just running by the numbers, he shot for 38% from the floor.
Yeah.
But it was another game where like he only took it was only on 13 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
And he he I just lost my spot. And he did he only got to the line like three times.
Yeah, so we got to be aggressive.
Oh, sorry. I retract my previous statement.
So
he shot for 33%. He only took 9 attempts. It was another one of those like
fadeaway
disappear
games. Yeah, so I don't think that's going to happen again.
No. I mean, it can.
It literally can't happen again or we lose this game. We got to get to the free throw line.
All right, what about this? We don't even have this in the notes, but what about Clippers home court advantage versus Staples Center?
We don't have a home court advantage.
I know, but technically this is a home game.
Yeah.
But I agree with what you're saying.
Maybe the Lakers will be so shocked that we're actually giving our fans something for coming to the game that they'll just be like, what is this unity and caring about your fans?
I think they get it too, though. I think everyone gets the giveaway.
No, I know, but the Lakers will be like, wait, what are you guys doing right now?
Oh,
we never give stuff away.
They'll be so befuddled.
Yeah,
that they
just
won't even know how to process it.
You guys are building basketball courts for underprivileged kids? We don't give shit to anybody.
Or, maybe people forget that the game is tonight.
Oh, that's a good call. I thought we were going to get rained out how this weather was going on. So, what's your prediction for this game?
Oh, man, this one's a pretty hard one to call for me. I'm going to go 115 to 110 Clippers.
I like that. I think I'm going even closer.
All right.
111, 109 Clippers.
All right.
I think Rondo takes a three-pointer to try and win it, and they just lose in classic bad Lakers fashion.
That'd be awesome.
We are going to be also at Crawford's.
That's right.
In Rampart Village, what's it called?
Yeah, like Rampart. It's Rampart Village.
Rampart Village. Watching the game, eating some chicken.
Yeah.
Come through. This isn't an official meetup, whatever. We're just going to watch the game. If anyone wants to hang out, we can talk. We can drink cheap Bud Heavies.
Yeah, so it's at 2616 Beverly Boulevard, Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, right outside my bus stop. Say what's up to the 14 while you're there. Guys, that's it for the game preview. We're going to talk a little bit more about some young guys in the next segment. But first, if you have a smart speaker, just tell that dang thing to play podcast Locked On Clippers.
Playing Locked On Clippers.
And it'll play it. You can clean your house. It'll be fantastic. Also, if you follow multiple Locked On Podcast Network podcast, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates everything into one feed. It's great. The stories are packed full of insider information. Wonderful feature.
So, Thirsty Thursdays.
Thirsty.
What do you got?
I'm thirsty for a Jerome coming out party tonight.
I gotta agree. I don't know. I don't know if Bradley's... If Bradley's out, we gotta see him in the starting lineup, right?
Yeah, so the idea behind that, which a bunch of people on Twitter, Justin Russo, at Fly By Night, he brought up a great point of Lou is a bench guy.
100%.
Lou is a bench player. And with how Ty Wallace is seemingly frozen out of the starting lineup or any real
significant
significant minutes, it's not ludicrous to think that Jerome will start. I don't think it's crazy that we'll have a Beverly Shea Jerome starting lineup. Weirdly enough, we started Boban at the center last time.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. Was JaVale starting? I think JaVale might have been starting at that time. So it was just like a length battle.
Yeah, it didn't work out. I think he only played like 12 minutes. but yeah, I think I want to see Jerome put up like 20 points. It would be amazing. It might be kind of hard from the perimeter, though. Lakers opponents take 32 threes a game. As everyone who listens to this podcast knows, we don't take that many threes a game.
Yeah.
We take around 25, good for 30th in the league. if Jerome starts or gets a heavy dose of playing time, I just hope he's letting it fly.
Oh, yeah.
The Lakers hold opponents to just 35% shooting from beyond the arc, but he's not your average player.
That's true.
You know?
To just 35%?
Yeah.
That's not that bad.
That's pretty good. his spacing is going to be key as well.
Yeah.
And I hope that, he's been he's a new guy in the rotation. We saw the last game. Lou kind of didn't see him or wasn't giving him the ball in the corner for whatever reason. We don't think there's any weird animosity there or anything like that. I think it's just getting used to him. I hope the Lakers also don't really respect him on the perimeter because he's a rookie.
Yeah, I think it's going to be... Well, they just haven't seen him yet.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really difficult to gauge that. I hope that he's also able to kind of show out defensively.
I think that's going to be huge. I think a breakout game on either side of the ball would be great.
Yeah.
If he can lock down Ingram or whoever he ends up guarding.
Yeah.
Which he can do. He's a plus defender.
Definitely. I mean, he's got all the physical tools. He has you know, he's a smart player. So
really smart player.
I think that he'll only improve at defense, but if he could have like just a solid performance tonight, that would really go a long way in locking down this dub.
Yeah. I'm so thirsty for a fat dub.
Yeah.
I haven't been as excited about a game this season than I think the first game of the season.
Yeah.
The way that it's very rare that key players are out and it's still a good matchup. Still,
yeah, no, very much agreed. It just feels like so much is on the line with this game.
It's huge, man. It's a crazy time this season too. The All-Star break's coming up. A lot to think about if you lose this game, if you're either team.
Yeah. Do you think, and maybe this is overstating it, do you think this game could have any implications on our trade deadline transactions?
Oh, that's spicy.
Who knows?
Man, it might.
You know, if this is a bad L.
Yeah, if we just get like stomped.
Yeah.
If we get stomped, there maybe could be some moves. If Avery Bradley plays and gets exposed. People were talking about before all the Kristaps, before the trade was finalized, people were talking about maybe throwing Jerome in for a Kristaps trade. I think that's kind of insane.
I don't love that.
I think we got to hold on to Jerome.
Yeah.
I think this will be a kind of a big litmus test for our centers too.
I agree. These matchups I don't love.
I don't love them at all. It's another one of those things where the Lakers have a lot of length.
Yeah.
Guys who have skill with that length.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about Svi, that guy they got who can shoot lights out when he wants to. I'm not worried about Mo Wagner. We hate Mo Wagner on this podcast.
Yeah. Zubats? Is that
Zubats been playing great.
Yeah.
I'm worried about him. This is going to be a close game.
Definitely.
Going to be a good time, though.
Oh, yeah.
Fried chicken, Bud Heavies. Anything else you're thirsty for?
No, I think that about... I think the dub is like the thing I'm just thirstiest for.
That's all we want. Let us know if you're thirsty for anything on Twitter when we post this episode. Coming up, we're going to be talking a little about this Knicks-Mavs trade.
I don't know how anyone's supposed to work today.
So, per Woj, you may have heard of him. New York agreed to a deal with the Dallas Mavericks that includes them sending Kristaps Porzingis, Courtney Lee, Tim Hardaway Jr. to Dallas in exchange for Wesley Matthews, Dennis Smith Jr., and DeAndre Jordan. Deal may include more draft assets. So Knicks fans are mad.
Rightfully so. I mean,
I don't know.
Rightfully so if you love Porzingis.
For sure.
Like if you saw him as like a future piece, for sure, that's disappointing.
So the background also, Porzingis had a meeting with the Knicks today and was basically like, why do we suck? And they were like, dude, you play for the Knicks.
Yeah.
Why? What did you think was going to happen?
And there's been kind of murmurs that he wasn't, you know, like he has his own guys for health stuff and recovery. I guess he's not really that trusting of the organization or their programs for recovery or training, which is really disconcerting if you're like want a player to be a cornerstone of your franchise.
Yeah.
So I didn't think that we would see a Kristaps move before the trade deadline.
No, especially an hour after we like knew anything was even going to go down with it.
I did expect one to happen, though, this summer.
Yeah. So the Knicks, they also could have just drafted Dennis Smith Jr. last year, which they didn't do. But they now have a chance at two max slots this offseason.
Yeah. So I guess that's the biggest win for the Knicks probably, right? Because Dennis Smith Jr. and Wesley Matthews both come off the books after this year.
Yeah, and this leads me to believe that they're going to offer Tobias Harris a max. He's an East Coast guy.
Yeah.
The Knicks are a poorly run franchise. I think they're going to offer, or they're confident about KD. Like,
yeah, there's so many questions. Clearing out a lot of space, and I think that is...
It's an interesting strategy when you do it by trading away what was thought of to be your entire future.
Yeah, I don't think it's a great showing of faith if you're thinking about going to this organization.
No.
I do like that they get Dennis Smith Jr. I noticed that a lot of Knicks fans seem to be kind of down on that. Y'all need a point guard.
Yeah, like what do you, what, okay, yeah.
Frankie Smokes isn't turning into your point guard.
No. Great nickname.
Yeah. Moutier is good.
Yeah.
But
they must be confident about KD or Kyrie, like...
Yeah, it's a lot of money, but here's the thing about this year is that the cap's going up, and not everybody, but there's going to be a lot of teams with money out there.
Yeah.
There's going to be more teams
with... Don't the Suns have a bunch of money?
Yeah, there's going to be more teams with money than there are great players available.
We got money.
We
have money and good ownership and better weather.
Yeah. So I think that that gets a little bit hard, but maybe they know something that we don't.
That's the other thing is that maybe they, yeah, like there's some inside knowledge with KP's health.
Yeah.
That they're not, that they're withholding.
I mean, he's a big dude. ACL is, you know.
Yeah.
But in the modern era, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, if you
like,
do it right.
Like, ultimately, long term, it's not necessarily that big of a deal. If he, you know, if he's being weird about his health staff and, like, we don't really know, that makes things more troubling.
That's sketchy, for sure.
For sure. But, you know, an ACL isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, it's like Tommy John in baseball. Yeah. Almost.
Yeah.
So there's also some talk that DJ and Wes are going to get bought out. We're not really sure if that's going to happen.
I see no reason for that for the Knicks.
Because they're just off the books next year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people on Twitter were talking about DJ returning to the Clippers. We don't want, here on this podcast, we don't want that guy.
No thanks. You know, he did some great things for this franchise. He
not
had some
the same
solid
guy.
Play. He's not the same player anymore. And
he's shown lapses in effort. He like,
yeah.
It would not help this team, I don't think. It would help this team 30% of the time that he was on the court.
Yeah.
Which doesn't
just,
feel
and
worth
just
it.
Vibe wise.
Yeah.
You know, like, even when our guys aren't really gelling, I still think that the mood is better.
100%. Anything else?
Well, I mean, we talked about this from the Knicks angle.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this trade for the Mavs?
Love it.
I like it a lot.
They got their core in Doncic and Porzingis, who can be mentored by Dirk, who's effectively a less athletic Kristaps.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Kristaps is better anyway. He's just more athletic than Dirk, obviously.
Yeah. So I like it. I think a lot of how this trade is going to be viewed in the rearview mirror is going to hinge on Hardaway Jr.'s performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pairing him next
big
to
contract,
Doncic.
18 mil, then 19 mil.
Yeah. And then he's got a player option for another year.
Yeah.
So, you know, from a cap space perspective, it's not the greatest for the Mavs.
Uh-uh.
But I respect the move in that, you know, I think they're being realistic in, like, thinking about what a free agent destination is.
100%. And Kristaps come off an injury. He's not commanding a max contract.
No.
When
no.
his
And they would have
year.
To re-sign him this summer, possibly without him ever playing a game in a Mavs uniform.
Which might not happen.
Yeah.
If they're in the playoff push, I don't think you bring Kristaps in to be like, hey, play really hard right now, who didn't play all year.
You know, they'll be the judge of that. It'll be really hard to tell.
Yeah.
Luckily for Kristaps, the Mavs do have like one of the most respected medical staffs.
Yeah. Mark Cuban's done a good job hiring good medical staffs and people who harass women serially. He had to
That's
have known
terrible.
About that whole thing. I think the Mavs, quote unquote, win it today.
Yeah, I just think so much is going to hinge. Yeah,
there's so many pieces
on the intangibles because they have a lot more money on the books for not a lot more, but they have money on the books for longer with that Courtney Lee contract and the Hardaway contract.
Yeah,
I don't know. Time will tell.
Guys, thank you for tuning in. So tomorrow we kind of have a crazy schedule. We have to go to a stupid work trip in Florida. So we will be recapping the victory over the Lakers, previewing the games against the Pistons and the Raptors.
Oh, yeah.
Always playing Love, Marry, Kill on Fridays.
Got to. And your Pacific Division power rankings, if we have time.
If we have time. But also, just heads up, might be out a little late. You can probably expect it around like 4 or 5 Pacific Standard Time. That's the only time zone we recognize.
Oh, yeah.
As a legitimate time zone.
Yeah.
Please rate and subscribe to us on iTunes. We really appreciate it.
Leave a review.
Leave that review. Maybe we'll see you guys tonight at Crawford's. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Update. Thanks for listening, guys.